T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back in the Kia studios with you on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Middays, Andy and Randy. John Truckman for Andy Bunker this week. Randy McMichael, we're hanging out with you. Don't forget to go to watch 92.9 The Game, because we're about to have our fantasy football event coming up this Saturday.
Yes. And are you going to be there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Messing up everything?
Oh, yeah. What do you see my number one overall pick?
Yeah, you're going to be messing up stuff.
I hope I get the number one overall pick, because I'm taking Justin Hardy. The Georgia Rattlesnake is back, baby. So what we're going to do here is, with our event coming up, there's going to be a whole bunch of us, myself included.
How about I tell you about it right here?
Oh, you got it right here.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, fantasy football players, we invite you to join us at 92.9 The Game's Fantasy Football Summit at Twin Peaks of Buckhead Saturday, August 24th from noon to 3. Get expert advice with a panel discussion, mock draft, a Q&A with Yahoo Sports' Brad Evans, Brian Baldinger from the NFL Network, and Fantasy Football Live's own Liz Loza. Get insider
scoop. Is she going to help me draft?
I hope so. Get the insider scoop for my fantasy football before the draft on Saturday, August 24th from noon to 3 at Twin Peaks of Buckhead. Plus, join us to win awesome prizes, including fantasy football title belt and tickets to Falcons home opener versus the Eagles, courtesy of 92.9 The Game. For more information, go to 92.9thegame.com. So they added some stuff to it.
Right. We got a whole bunch of people that are drafting. Hugh's drafting a team. Fricky's drafting a team. I'm drafting a team. Brian's drafting a team. Bo Johnson's drafting a team. Wendy's drafting a team. We got a whole cavalcade of stars and personalities that are going to be drafting teams. So what we're going to do now is, Randy's got his pot of gold to pick from.
That's exactly what it looks like.
Yeah, because literally they have nothing else to grab from. So all of the names are in the hat. Now, is the first pick going to be for the first overall draft pick?
Okay, it's number 10. So we're going from 10 to 1. All right, so Wendy, you ready? Because Wendy's going to write down the names. All right.
Where we stand with the 10th pick.
With the 10th pick in the 2019 fantasy draft goes to Hugh Douglas.
Oh, boy. He ain't going to be happy.
He ain't going to be happy about that.
Nope. He ain't going to be happy.
No, he'll get over it.
He was at 10.
Mm. All right. Here we go. With
number nine
pick.
Where we stand.
It goes to Bo Johnson.
Wow. Okay. He's not going to be happy about that.
No, yeah. All right, we're getting there for you, doggy. All right, with the 8th pick, John Chuckery.
Wow. You think Justin Hardy will fall to 8?
I think
he'll be available?
I'm almost positive.
I'm
pretty sure that he's going to be there.
Dang, I hope he's there. Yeah, I don't know.
What number are we on, Wendy? 7?
This is 7.
All right, here we go. Number 7 is Brian Gebhardt.
Wow. Brian may take Justin Hardy in front of me.
Here we go. Okay, this is number 6.
6.
Carl Dukes.
Wow, okay.
Watch Mike get the number 1
pick. Yeah, watch Mike. Yeah.
All right, here we go. Number 5. Tommy. Hot take Tommy Mott.
Oh, hot take's going to be there. Wow, I did not know that. Okay.
Number 4.
Wow. He'll draft avocado toast with his number 1 pick.
Number 4. Our man, Knox Bardeen.
Wow, look at Knox rocks, baby.
Mike Bell's going to get number 1.
Yeah, he is. Can you believe this?
All right, here's number 3. All right, here we go. Miss Wendy Adams with the 3rd pick.
Who does that leave, by the way? Mike and...
That leaves
Fricky.
Fricky versus Mike.
Oh, wow. Well, we know Fricky's not taking AB because I'm not drafting him. I'm not drafting him at all.
With the number 2 pick in the draft goes to...
It is freaking
Mike Bell. So that means the number 1 overall pick in the 2019 fantasy.
Randy, I'm going to take Joe Namath with the number 1 pick.
Getting freaky with it, John Freaky.
I covered fantasy football back in the 1800s, of course, you know, Red Grange and Jim Thorpe and those kind of guys were my top picks back then, Randy. But, no, I, you know, of course, I don't know. You can vote in our poll about who I should take number 1 overall. Sorry.
All right. Yeah. So that was the fantasy football draft. Make sure you guys go out to Twin Peaks. I'll read some more about this later on the show with Twin Peaks. On the 24th, from noon to 3, we're going to have analysts like Chuckery said. All the personalities will be out there hanging out. Chuckery will be messing up the draft.
Is Liz going to sit next to me?
And Liz Lola and my man Baldy's going to be there. Huh. Also, Brad Evans from Yahoo Sports is going to be in the house. So you
Since
make sure y'all
Brian
go out
and I
there.
Are picking side by side, is she going to sit in the middle of us, Brian? Like where we?
Yeah. Just stop, okay?
Right.
Just stop, Brian.
Yeah. All right. There you go. There's our draft order. Well, are we going to post that online?
Right, we got a Twitter poll. You can vote on who we should
take. Jimmy got this nice little thing, this big board with the draft.
Oh,
thing.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty sweet. It's pretty sweet.
Wow.
I saw it the other day. Jimmy
just
got
go
it.
Go ahead and pencil me down
it's
for Justin
sweet.
Hardy. I'm in. All right. It is time for our Braxton Big Clips of the Day. It's the most important audio brought to you by Braxton Automotive, after warranty luxury repair.
Especially on the punt side. You know, that's one where if you get your moments to go, you really want to max them out. We're still looking at, you know, Marcus and OZ. There's a bigger body of work for Kenyon in the NFL especially. So for those two guys specifically, it's like, hey, man, let's get them out there and under it and see where they go.
That was Falcons head coach Dan Quinn as we're still evaluating punt returners. Does Devin Hester need a job or anything like that?
Dev hung it up.
Are they gonna end up giving this thing to 14
yep.
when it's all said and done?
Yep.
14's gonna get it, isn't he?
Yep.
And what's he gonna do?
Yep.
He's gonna have his hands in the air like he don't care.
But I'm just saying, that's his job. I mean, you don't take risks.
We should bring him in for the Wendy zone because he always has his hands in the air.
Yeah, but no, yeah, I mean, I know they want Marcus Green because they want to do some different things with Marcus Green on the offensive side of the ball, but if you can't fill punts.
Okay.
No.
I heard the same nonsense about Devin Fuller. I got tired of hearing people, you know, he was the Pac-12 punt return leader for you. Okay, if he can't stay on the field and they had to have an IR settlement with him, what does it matter what he did at UCLA or
anything
like
that? I agree with that.
Down the field.
Okay, why are you upset with me?
I'm not, because I just get all this crazy stuff.
Oh, I'm like, why are you upset with me? I'm just
telling you
what
it is.
Oh, it's my fault. I picked Jay. I tell you this, your guy's going to be there, okay? There's no...
Okay, you say that, I'm going to ask Liz.
Yeah. I probably.
Yeah, you don't want to.
Yeah, he's going to be
there. Yeah, it's changed. I mean, the science of training, nutrition, practice, all of that has changed during my time in the league. And, you know, you even look at what training camp was like when I first got here to what it's like now. It's much different. And it certainly helps your body stay fresher for longer. And I think that's a really good change.
Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan, of course, talking about the differences in training and training camp and things like that as he is, 12 years into his...
Yeah, man.
Whoo, wow. 12th training camp for Matt Ryan out there. What was the difference for you between how you looked at training camp maybe in your first couple of years versus those vacation years?
Oh, man, I pretty much approached it the same every single year, man. I mean, it is what it is now. You know, the early part of my career down in Miami when it was training camp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing about it was I was used to it because that's where in Peach County down there, we had two-a-days. In Georgia, we had two-a-days. So I never got to that point where, I mean, it sucks. It's camp. So, I mean, you just fight your way through it. It's just all about.
But your first few years, was there an excitement to it? I mean, I'm in the NFL.
Oh, yeah, of course it is. But it wears off fast.
Yeah, I was going to say, after about year 10, how was it?
Yeah, I mean,
it's the NFL?
No, it was always cool, but I'm just talking about as far as when you're in the camp mode. Oh, yeah, the first couple, you're excited, then that sort of start kicking in, and then them days start running together, and then you see who to block on 34 gut every single time. It's the same guy sitting over there. Then you get to a point where like, man, could this hurry up? But, yeah, no, every single year when it was time to go to camp, it was always a different feeling. Like, I remember when I would leave here, and, you know, going to Hartsville Airport, you get to your gate, and it says San Diego right there, and you know it's that mindset, it just switches.
Did it matter if the expectation of the team was one level or another?
No.
Like this team is expected to be a Super Bowl contender,
right.
Okay?
Nope.
Not every team is like a Super Bowl.
Don't matter.
Okay.
Because
is it in your mind you believe that?
Yes.
Okay.
Because some people will sit there and say, Randy, you're lying. But no, you really, when you got to training camp, it was a different mindset. Because we all had that mindset. We're all 0-0. Anything can happen. Injuries, whatever.
Right.
You always think that. But then once the first practice goes and you look around, you ain't got no damn talent. You're like, dang, it's going to be a long year.
Or you're in that guy's division.
Yeah, it's going to be a long year.
Yeah.
You have to have that in today's game. You got to have depth. You got to have guys that can fill roles. And we've definitely had that this year.
That was Braves catcher Brian McCann as he talks about the depth throughout the Braves system. Obviously,
coming off of what was such a great Sunday performance for Rafael Ortega, where he hits the grand slam to lead the Braves to victory. Now, of course, Braves start up tonight against the Florida Marlins, wrapping up this three-game homestand tonight. I'll say it like this. As long as they win two out of three, I really don't care. Just win series. I know people want them to sweep and all that. At this point, just give me two out of three because I don't trust the Nationals, Phillies, Mets. I mean, you can miss me with all those teams and what they're doing and not doing and all that kind of stuff. Just make sure you handle your business and get at least two out of three.
Here's my thing with it is that because it's their last series to beat up on them, they might as well sweep them. I mean, you got DK going today, which I think is a big start for him coming off of another solid outing, solid performance. And they need another one from them. You can't let these Marlins sneak you like they got you down there in Miami, man. You need to go ahead and punch them in the mouth and get this over with because, again, the Nationals, they're coming. I know that we don't worry about them because every time an NL East team, and you said this, is charging, it's playing well, they go against the Braves, they can't beat the Braves.
Yeah. Nationals did win last night, by the way, 13-0 over the hapless Pittsburgh Pirates. By the way, they've completely faded as well. So, you know, another one of those chump teams out there. 13-0 last night. So now five games up in the standings on Washington are the Braves with a 9-game lead over Philly and a 9-game lead over the Mets. So I guess I'll get all excited about all of it.
Obviously, passing is one of his biggest, you know, assets. And so I'm definitely looking forward to playing with him, learning from him, just learning by his experiences here in Atlanta and just going from there.
That was Hawks rookie Cam Reddish talking about playing with Trae Young this year. We talked a little bit about how Cam Reddish was picked to be have the longest, best career amongst the rookies this year and all that kind of stuff. I mean, for whatever.
It's a rookie's voting. Whatever. Let's hope so. And maybe he can be that dude. I mean, we've been looking for that dude on the wing for a while right now. I love the DeAndre Hunter. I love that pick because he fits so much of what they need. You want to do.
God, they need a defensive player, don't they?
Yes, they do. Yeah. On that wing. And then, you know, Cam, he's a guy that, you know, he can handle the ball. He'd be your secondary ball handler. But,
Is it fair to put playoff to say that, hey, they can be a playoff team? Is that fair? I think it is, too.
I think it is. But
I'm not saying 3, 4, 5. I'm saying why can't they be 7 or 8 in the East?
I agree with you on that one. But, again, when you're at a point where you're trying to rebuild, you know, Travis Link and everybody, maybe you still ain't there yet. And by the way, Travis Link got a promotion, duh. It says he agreed to promotion with a multi-year extension Monday. It says Link will now be titled President of Basketball Operations and General Manager.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him, man. Good for Travis.
He should be.
Good for Travis.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of good in this organization.
Yeah, it is.
Trevon is the one that has a chance to help us the most this year because he's not really an interior defensive lineman. He is more athletic, plays on the edge, can do some more stuff on sub situations where the other guys are a little more run-oriented.
That was Georgia head coach Kirby Smart talking about when asked about what freshman, Randy, can help them the most on the defensive front this year.
Well, I mean, they got some dudes now, and they went out and they recruited well. And you got some upperclassmen, you know, but, I mean, they're going to count on freshmen like Nolan Smith and guys like that. Jermaine Johnson, he's not a freshman, but he is a JUCO transfer that's coming in, number one outside rusher. They got to get some guys because last year they weren't as good against the run.
Right.
They were not – and so they got – and we know that's Kirby's DNA from Nick. You stop the run. All right, you make a team one-dimensional. You got to stop that run. And now N'Kobe Dean, we talked about him yesterday. He's a little banged up, and he's turning heads up there, man. That young linebacker, I mean – I don't want to put Roquan on him, but they're talking about that's exactly what it looks like.
How far away is it before you think on the defensive line side for Georgia we start to throw that Alabama moniker out there?
That depth, man. Because that was the one thing about Alabama.
Are they a couple of years away?
I would think so.
Another recruiting class
I think another recruiting class. Because you got some guys now. Are they as loaded and, you know, like Alabama was, you lose the first rounder, you plug one in, and then he becomes the first rounder. And I don't know if they got those guys.
But you know what's funny is people forget, in Nick Saban's first year at Alabama, there was not a single kid drafted off that team in the first year.
Right.
Not a single kid from Alabama.
Right.
Nobody.
Right.
Since then, you know, he's had like 9 first-team All-America linebackers on that team. Like, it didn't take him very long to turn nobody drafted to every guy I got gets drafted every year.
I mean, and he got that, and he'll always talk about it. He got that first big-time recruit class with the one with Julio in it. And once that happens, you know how these kids are. They're going to keep talking, and I want to go here, I want to go there. And that's what they're trying to build in Georgia. You remember when I said this maybe 2 years ago when me and you were on one weekend? I said, Georgia's the cool place to go.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's the cool place to go.
Yeah.
And so these kids are all at these camps and 7-on-7. Like, and then you got the best O-line coach in the country, in Sam Pittman, mm-hmm. and he's getting these dudes in here.
Yep.
And I'm talking about these big boys. They want to come.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, you know, you got like two other dudes that are going to go to the NFL in front of you. They don't care.
Well, he was one of the guys we got big time for, right, Brian, when we went to the Georgia practice and Randy went on the sidelines, talked to Kirby and Sam and everybody. Yeah, we didn't get invited.
No.
Oh, hey, how's it going?
Oh, Randy? No. Were you and Chris in the stadium?
We had to sit in the stands.
Okay.
And we weren't invited to the field.
I was hot, too. Ain't no shade on the football field.
Throwing shade at us.
Remember the older gentleman that we thought?
Oh, yeah. Listen, every man for himself. Like, ain't nobody carrying him. Listen, if you're 80 years old trying to walk that mile and you die, yeah, suck it up, man. It's 2 days. When we get back, got some college football news to get into, including some takeaways from the Georgia scrimmage that they had, their number two scrimmage. And Randy and I are going to take a look at the top 25s and kind of maybe some sleepers, maybe some overvalued teams, kind of take a look at maybe some people maybe a little high, a little low in all of it. Andy and Randy, Midday Show, Chuck Reed and Frandy, Sports Radio, 910 The Game.
One of those things, a couple of guys having discussion.
Sports Radio, 92 on the game. Andy and Randy, Chuck Reed and Frandy Bunker this week. 404-741-0929. That's our phone line. That's also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to jump on and interact with us. We stream online at 929thegame.com. Catch us at Watch929. We're on TV today. Hopefully you got a chance to either watch us on the Facebook or watch us on the stream about Randy picking all the names. If you go to at 929 The Game, you can follow us on all the social media platforms, but especially on Twitter, because we did put out our Fantasy Football Summit draft order. Of course, coming up this Saturday at Twin Peaks in Buckhead, we got our Fantasy Football Summit, so you can see the order with I got the number one pick overall.
John Fricky has number one overall pick. I don't know why that's so funny to me.
That's great, isn't it?
That's so funny for some reason. I don't know.
Listen, when I think fantasy football, I think Fricky.
Don't you?
Yeah.
How can you not?
Yeah. So, I mean, it should be all good. So, Wendy Adams did get 3. Brian has got 7. I've got 8. Randy, I didn't see your name on here.
Oh, Brian's in for me. I'm calling Corky Keller's here.
So you're skipping out.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I got a legitimate excuse. And even if I didn't, I would have found one.
Yeah, you'd have found a way.
Yeah,
I'd
have found a way.
Show up. Yeah. So, all right. Maybe Jarvis will draft for me. Anyway, at Randy Mack 81, at JM. Well, no, true, because I got to draft Justin Hardy, so I don't want to miss out on all of that. So, at Randy Mack 81, at JMCH316 on Twitter. Follow us to keep up with the show. So, getting some college football talk here, Randy. So, some takeaways listed here. By the way, let's get into first these quarterbacks. To everybody's shock and dismay, Jalen Hurts and Justin Fields got named starters yesterday.
Get out of here!
Yeah. Can you believe it?
No, I cannot. But like I told you, I was when we were talking this morning in the bullpen, I saw some highlights of Jalen, and he had this big brace on his leg. I was like, was that in the spring or was that recently that he just had that brace on?
You think he's just kind of keeping that on? Like, do you remember?
It looked like he was kind of, you know.
Okay. Do you remember those pictures last year when you and I would talk about? Dang, he can't even walk.
Yeah.
Remember? I mean, there were some of those times, like in pregame, like Nick would be like, yeah, we've got Jalen available. And you'd watch him walk around in pregame.
And he'd need
the Fred Sanford, walker. I mean, oh, my God. You know, so I wonder if that's just one of those precautionary things, Randy, or do guys kind of get used to if they wear that?
Well, especially at the quarterback position. You know, a lot of guys in the league now wear – that knee brace. Once they, you know, I know Phillip wears his, Tom Brady wears his, Peyton always wore his knee brace. So we'll see.
And the way, I guess, you know, because Tua had this, right? The way these braces are is that now it makes sure you can't laterally move to get that tweaking. You know, it keeps you locked in place. So maybe he just kind of decided that, you know, he's going to wear it and it just helps him to just mentally maybe. I don't know.
All right. Who knows? But, yeah, there's no surprise in that. And, you know, a lot of people automatically assume, okay, well, Oklahoma had the last two Heisman. I'd be shocked if Jalen Hurts wins a Heisman.
I would, too. I don't think Jalen Hurts – I don't think Jalen Hurts is even the betting favorite right now to win the Heisman
Not over those two guys. He's third, though, I think.
Is he third?
I think I saw someone where they had him as third. He was third.
That's the Oklahoma factor.
That could be it.
That's not the Jalen Hurts factor. But here's the thing. Jalen Hurts won't fail in the moment. He's been in every big moment.
He's been in so many big moments. He's
trying to get to his fourth straight playoff.
Which is unbelievable.
Fourth straight playoff. Unbelievable. So a few takeaways, Randy, from the Georgia scrimmage the other day. Kirby Smart said that there is a lot of the receivers that connected on explosive plays, plays of 13 yards or more. We've talked a lot about the guys and that group of guys. It's plenty of talent. It's just getting acclimated to the system. What's nice about Georgia's schedule, yeah, okay, you got to go on the road to Vanderbilt, and it's an SEC game. Okay, miss me with all that. But anyway, you got that, and then you got two cupcakes.
Murray,
then,
Arkansas State.
Then it's Notre Dame. Yeah. So you got all that. And by the way, it's a night game, too. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're going to be out there doing a lot of broadcasting that day from Athens. We'll keep you up to date on all that. We got to get through our fantasy football stuff first. But what? Hey, with the first pick of the draft, I'm taking Sig Luckman.
Somebody.
Yeah. But we know how talented they are. It's just getting acclimated with Jake. And let me tell you, could you imagine, though, if you had this group of wide receivers and Jake Fromm was a freshman or something like that?
Yeah, it'd be
then
rough.
There would be some concern.
Yeah, it'd be rough. But because he is, and like you said, he's upperclassman, has played in a lot of big games, I think he'll figure out how to get these guys involved. And, you know, Lawrence Cager and Pickens, I mean, everybody knows about the video and all that. Mm-hmm. You know, Tyler Simmons is a veteran. I would say this, can he be that guy that Terry Godwin was as far as big catch at the right time? You know, that upperclassman guy that always seems to make a play when you need it. And then the kid from my high school, Kyrus Jackson, the guy that, you know, you get him the ball, he's going to do some things.
Right.
And then you get Dominic Blaylock. And, I mean, you got so many of these guys that are there that just need experience. Demetrius Robinson, just get them out there and they got to learn how to play.
How do you feel about, we talked about this in the preseason, offseason, how do you feel about the return game for Georgia?
I'm kind of excited about that part. I mean, you lose a Miko Harmon because it's like every time Miko touched the ball, he was at the 40.
Yeah, that's an all-conference type of guy.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like he's at the 40. But you got guys, like I said, again, Kyrus Jackson can return kicks. James Cook, another way to get the ball in his hands because he's not going to get as many carries as you would think he deserves, but that's another way to get the ball in his hands.
Yeah, it's not easy to have to replace a guy like Miko Harmon, and that's one of those things that's kind of been one of the storylines, maybe not talked about. I mean, there's been so much focus on, you know, the defensive line, the wide receivers, but, you know, look, I mean, that's certainly an issue. Look, when you have, in college football especially, if you've got a guy back there that feels like he can break it every time, mm-hmm. there's nothing like that. I mean, there's nothing like that in college football to have a guy that you feel like can go to the house every time.
Oh, without a doubt, man. And when you have, like I said, every time Miko would take a kickoff, it looked like we get to 40 because it's just so explosive and everything. So, yeah, you got to have all those things as a component. But, I mean, they got some dude. Now, I don't know if any of as fast as Miko is, but they got some dudes. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. The offensive line. Kirby Smart had called out Georgia's offensive line in the first scrimmage for not doing enough to spark the offensive efficiency. And I guess they responded in the second scrimmage. But that's you know.
Everybody worried about that. What they call them, the Great Wall. I ain't ready to give them all that. But, I mean, you got Andrew Thomas and Solomon Kinley.
They're going to line up against some of those teams. And
they're just going to whack mash them. You got big Isaiah Wilson.
Because they're going to manhandle Vanderbilt's defensive
line. Oh, this is going to be some flits. No. There's going to be a lot of flits.
No. And Murray State or whatever they got coming up at. Who they play after that?
They got Murray State, yeah.
Yeah. And who's the other team? Who's the third game?
Arkansas State.
Okay. And guess what those guys are going to do there?
In the fourth team?
Yeah.
Because you got three straight home games after you go to after you leave Vanderbilt.
Right. Well, you got Vandy, then the two cupcakes, then Notre Dame at night.
So then you got the bye, then you go to Tennessee.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then back to back home games. Okay.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the last group, with all due respect, that I'm really worried about is this offensive line. So talking some college football here. Randy McMichael, John Chuckery, in for Andy Bunker on the Andy and Randy Show on Sports Radio 92.9 Game, live from the Kia Studios. So now we have all the top 25s. We've got the coaches poll, got the AP poll, which came out yesterday out there. We talked a little bit, you know, about this. Do you have some teams that are sleepers? Do you have some teams that maybe are kind of not being talked enough about, or maybe some teams that can make some movement, you know, or maybe didn't get enough respect? I still go back to, I think Army's going to finish at 10-2, 11-1. Their only loss legitimately might be to Michigan in week two. That could be the only loss that Army has this year with their schedule.
I mean, you've been big on Army. You're also pretty big on Memphis too. And I was like, well, the thing with Memphis is they lost a lot of dudes, man. They lost them dudes in Henderson. But
I'll tell you, he's got another good team in like lower tier. Cincinnati's going to be a good team as well.
Well, I mean, they're trying to make their move.
But you know, they got Ohio State week two, I think it is. That's second game of the year. Whatever. They're not going to beat Ohio State. But watch for that game to be closer than you think, Randy.
Like closer? Like how close?
Maybe 10, 13.
Man, please.
Okay.
Man, please. Ohio State's going to bludgeon them.
Okay.
And you
let Luke keep that game close.
Because they want him, you claim they want him up there.
They love Luke.
But my thing is, when I look at I'm interested what's going to happen. I know we don't talk a lot about it, but what's going to happen out there in that Pac-12? Because there's a possibility that Washington and Oregon, when they meet, could be both undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
And Oregon has that big game coming down and playing Auburn, and I think they'll beat Auburn. But what if they don't? Then it'd be the same old impact.
Be the same thing that happened to Washington.
Same thing that happened to Washington.
Yep.
When they got their soul snatched.
Yep. Everybody just kind of looked at it and said, there's the Pac-12. Can't get it done.
But what about that matchup for a first game? Oregon's O-line versus Auburn D-line.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the deciding factor in that game. Because, I still don't know who's going to be starting quarterback down there. We know that Gus Bus is going to call plays. But you think
is it
Auburn,
Bo Nix?
Is it going to be Bo Nix? I mean, you need that kind of boat.
How about Auburn's going into this right now? We don't know who they're running back or quarterback?
Nope,
is.
We don't.
You sure that's a good formula for Gus's offense to not have really an idea?
Because
they ain't going to be by committee. Their offense doesn't work very well.
No, you need cohesion back there.
Now.
So, I mean, how good is Notre Dame this year?
I think Notre Dame's getting a lot of love off of what they did last year. I mean, Book's a really good quarterback.
He is.
But you can't lose that many guys off your offensive line the last couple of years. They've lost generational talent up front on their team. And they've had good defensive lines, too. That's kind of the underrated part of Notre Dame has been their defense the last couple of years, about how good their defense has been. But, man, they've lost a lot of guys, Randy.
Are you sold to Michigan State? Or are they just going to be where they always are?
In that division,
yeah.
They're not going to be better than third. I mean, that's the best they're going to be in that division. I don't think they're better than Michigan or Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious if Syracuse can be a 10-win team again. Can they build off of what they did last year and be a 10-win team again?
DeVito's new young quarterback taking over Eric Dungy, that's a big-time move. But the one thing about
they don't have the wide receivers they had the last couple of years.
But the one thing they have is that system. And you're gonna move the ball in Dino Babers' system. I mean, we just know that. That is what it is.
All right, when we get back, we're going to talk to our Atlanta United play-by-play broadcast voice, Mike Conney, and we'll find out where he stands on all of it. It's all next, Andy and Randy, Chuck Rehan, Sports Radio 910 The Game. Sports Radio 910 The Game, back in the Kia Studios, Andy and Randy, John Chuck Rehan for Andy Bunker this week. Don't forget, go to our station Twitter, at 929 The Game. You can see our fantasy football draft as I snagged the number one overall pick.
John Fricky, number one overall pick. That's great.
Well, I got a whole list of guys I could choose from. Yeah. I mean, Paul Horning is available.
I was gonna say Y.A. Tittle is pretty high on his draft.
I've got a lot of guys. Yeah, of course, I covered Y.A. Tittle back when he had hair. That's how far back I go. That voice that you hear is the play-by-play voice of our Atlanta United, Mike Conney, as he joins us here to chat a little bit. I told him, I asked him, I said, I needed to find out if we could talk some football because I do want to talk some college football with you. So,
of course.
By
the way, I love the shout-out from Randy on College Football Game Time on Saturday, talking about Purdue
meeting
in the Big Ten West.
Yes.
I really do like them. They had a bad injury in practice. I think their backup running back's out for the year. But, I mean, to me, the West, I look at that AP Top 25 yesterday. You have four Big Ten West teams, like 20 through 24.
Right.
And Nebraska's in the top 25
Nobody. I mean,
no one knows what to do.
Even if Freaky said, because he said it, that Nebraska didn't deserve to be
ranked. Not yet.
It's all about their quarterback.
But here's the funny part. Are the two best players in the Big Ten on that side of the division?
They might be.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. For as jumbled of a mess as that is, and we know it, Michigan, Ohio State, that's whatever. What are they, 5-7 or something like that? Mm-hmm. Or 4-7, whatever. But the two best players in the conference probably play on that other side.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, we talked about this. I think Shea Patterson has the potential to be the best player.
I mean,
player
so does obviously
league,
Fields is a guy, too, that everybody's going to look at, too. But
Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, I think
he's going to be in New York. Heisman, right?
He's going to be in New York, baby.
Did you have one in the Heisman in our picks?
Huh? No, I left them off this year, didn't I, Brian? Yeah, I left them out this year.
Taylor and Martinez could absolutely be the two best players in that conference. And they could both be playing on 6-6 teams. It's just, it's very, very strange.
I don't remember
this year
the West
division
being as open as what it is. Because, I mean, look, some things could fall into place and Minnesota could compete in that Western division.
Rowing that boat, baby.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, anyone outside of Illinois, really.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Illinois is terrible.
Literally, anybody not named Illinois or Rutgers feels like they're in the Big Ten race, period.
Yeah, I'm not high on Maryland.
Indiana,
I think, has too many defensive questions. But I mean, that's the thing. It's any conference that has a conference championship game, you win the division, you get a shot, you got a 50-50 chance of doing something. The Pitt Panthers could have completely ruined everything last year because they got to the ACC championship game. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Are you a James Franklin guy?
Well, he's a great recruiter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no question about it. It's an unbelievable recruiter. I think the stat was that going into the final week of last season, Penn State had 9 losses over the last 3 years, and they had fourth quarter leads in all of them.
Yeah, well,
every single game.
I remember that game at Ohio State.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, I do too. Believe me. Could have been playing in the Peach Bowl for the national championship, John. Thanks for the reminder. So his game management and game day coaching obviously has to be called into question. And then you see this just bizarre mass exodus of players into the transfer portal.
Quarterback.
Joe Moorhead got the Mississippi State job. Uh-huh. I think it was only a matter of time that Tommy Stevens would have fallen there. But coordinators, all his coordinators keep leaving. I mean, he can't even retain guys on his own coaching staff. So, you know, it's one thing if guys enter the transfer portal because they can't find playing time and they want a shot elsewhere. But you look at the coaches that are leaving, too, and it just makes you wonder a little bit. That said, Franklin's still done a really good job at Penn State. Penn State is relevant again. I think Bill O'Brien laid the foundation for Penn State to be relevant again. But James Franklin had to do the work. I can't take that away from him. I don't think Penn State will win a national championship with him, but I think they can make a playoff.
So are you satisfied with what the Barkley-McSorley era left you?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No. Saquon Barkley.
I think you speak for a lot of people because Penn State people I've talked to are like, it was great. It was fun. It was nice to be back. But, man, to have those kinds of guys.
We blew it.
I mean, there's a lot of guys that rolled through that program last couple of years, Randy.
You win that game of the horseshoe, you're going to the playoff. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you're better than Alabama or Clemson, but I'd love to find out.
Right.
You know, that is you guys called him on Saturday, a generational player.
Yes.
I don't think Trace McSorley is a generational player. Saquon Barkley absolutely was. And what did you get? You got a Big Ten championship, which was absolutely fantastic. You played in one of the epic Rose Bowls of all time
that you did
not win, but that did occur, and you won a Fiesta Bowl. Most places, that's really good. But when you have a player of that caliber, Saquon Barkley, and you don't get a national championship, it just makes you kick yourself a little bit.
At least play in the – especially with the playoff now.
Because here's the thing. Like, they lost the next week after the Ohio State game to Michigan State where there was a 4-hour lightning delay. I don't think that would have mattered. I think if you beat Ohio State, Penn State was number 2 going into that Ohio State game. They would have been number 2 or maybe number 1. You lose to Michigan State with a weird lightning delay. You're still going to the Big Ten championship. You're probably still winning it. You're still going to the playoffs. So, missed opportunity.
Mike's hot.
Well, I love it.
But dude, you know what?
I remember it.
4 years ago, Randy,
uh-huh.
I'm like, wow, how can Penn State find a way to get to the Gator Bowl? Boy, it'd be really great to see him in the Pinstripe Bowl.
Right.
So to Franklin's
I remember you talking about going to, like, the Gator Bowl.
I did
and stuff
go to
like
the Gator
that.
Bowl.
You did go.
Yeah, when they played Georgia. Yeah. That was Trace McSorley's debut because Christian Hackenberg got injured.
Yes.
And they put in Trace McSorley. I'm like, who the heck is this guy? This guy looks like Johnny Manziel against Georgia. And then, of course, we lost. But that's – I will give Franklin credit because it is fun now to be passionate about Penn State football again. It was not fun at the end of the Paterno era for many, many obvious reasons.
Right.
I give Bill O'Brien a ton of credit for keeping the program with a heartbeat, basically. I mean, they could have crashed.
Does the NCAA
like
get some credit? Because, you know, they didn't – Southern Cal was out there looking and saying, hey, can we have some of that love that Penn State got?
Pat Hayden. Very fair point by Pat Hayden. But Penn State did not gain a competitive advantage with what happened.
No.
Whereas USC was committing violations, to give themselves a competitive advantage. That would be my only response to that. But Pat Hayden absolutely had a legitimate argument there. This is the best soccer segment ever, let me tell you.
Oh, it's great.
Well, I never get to talk college football.
No, that's why I want to make sure I could clear. I didn't want to get in trouble for anything.
No, it's all good.
2-0, great win in Portland.
I think maybe the best road win in club history, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, the playoff win at Yankee Stadium is the only other thing in the discussion. Atlanta United in their three-year history, I told the morning show guys, I hate using the cliche signature win. Drives me nuts.
Right.
It makes my skin crawl when I hear that, but I'm going to use the cliche. Atlanta United had been lacking that signature win on the road.
Sure.
Against a really good team in a hostile environment. They checked off all the boxes. They controlled the match. Very hostile environment in Portland. They wanted revenge for losing MLS Cup. They've been boiling hot at home. They're trying to get in the playoffs. That was huge by Atlanta United against a quality opponent that I think will still be heard from in the playoffs. And I like the fact that Pity Martinez drew a penalty at the end of the first half that for some reason was not called. They go to halftime, and what happens? 30 seconds after halftime, you go down and score. Love to see that. Love to see that response. Not getting out of joint because of the referee. Going down there and taking care of your business.
Mike, what's been – and I heard your Freaky talk a little bit about this this morning in the bullpen. The biggest thing about this squad now, is it they've adjusted to what Frank DeBoer wants to do?
No, I don't think it's so much that. I mean, they have moved to the 3-5-2 because they ran out of left wing backs,
right.
left backs when Breck Shea got hurt in Seattle. So they had to change the formation. But I think the other thing, more than the formation change, is they're just going out and playing free now.
Right.
They aren't overthinking. It doesn't appear as though – they're overthinking things anymore. And you know, Randy, I talked to Hugh about this morning. When you played college and pro football, you get a tough kind of grindy win that you feel good about. Then you go out, you win again. Then you go out, win again. Now it really starts to roll.
Correct.
You know, and momentum is a huge intangible that you obviously cannot just create with the snap of a finger in training or in practice. It just kind of happens. I feel like they're playing with momentum. They're playing with confidence. And they aren't overthinking anymore. And as a result, it just looks more free-flowing. The passes are connecting, and they look very, very dangerous in the attacking third. And through all that, they're getting a bunch of clean sheets, too.
Yeah, that's the thing about it. That was obvious, because you were looking at the way they were attacking, but yet the defense is not really winning the way. I think a lot of that has to do with the way Miles Robinson's just been unbelievable.
I agree. And Leandro Gonzalez
Pierce. How about LGP with a goal?
Yeah, right, he'll give you one or two a year. He scored one in Orlando last year. Brad, I thought, was fantastic.
He was.
Made a couple big saves at point blank off headers. The one in the second half was just dynamite. Brad, I don't think we've given so many of the outfield players credit. I think you need to give Brad a little love, too. 12 clean sheets. He has a chance to get the record.
Mm-hmm.
Four more in the last eight matches. He might do it. So everything's just kind of falling into place right now. I don't necessarily think it's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's necessarily being more comfortable with the system. It's just they aren't thinking too hard anymore. They're just going out and playing, and that's what they're very good at.
Coming up on Friday the 23rd at Orlando FC, Mike Connie will be on the call with Jason Longshore. Thank you, Mike.
You appreciate it, Mike.
Absolutely, guys.
Start sending in your questions to the AMA at 404-741-0929.
I got to read, Chuckery.
I know. I got to get that. I got to get the text line. Tom Bros, I'm a text line in.
You got it?
Yes. I'm going to get yelled at.
Okay, but this is for you. You're going to be here.
Oh.
Yeah, you're going to be at the Taste of Atlanta. At Southern Wings Showdown on Sunday, August 25th.
I'm emceeing
from 1 to 5 p.m. at Fairmont in West Midtown. This is an all-inclusive event that will serve up to 30 unique wing flavors, craft beer, Southern spirits, and live music. And John Chuckery. For more, for ticket info, go to the event page at 929thegame.com.
I heard something about Rob and Emily maybe broadcasting.
You're going to be out all weekend, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Saturday,
mm-hmm.
Sunday.
Yeah.
Friday, we're going to be out at East.
Yeah. People can talk about my Justin Hardy at number one pick on Sunday. When we get back, it's time for What's Trending. We'll talk some Falcons, Braves, and Hawks with you. It's all next. Andy and Randy Chuckery in Sports Radio 9th Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.